Welcome to the Movement Church in Orange County, California. We believe that today's message will inspire you, challenge you, and raise your faith that God is up to something big in your life. Let's jump into today's message.
Well, good morning, Movement Church. Hey, come on. Can we give it up for the people that are tuned in online right now? Give it up right now. We're so glad that you're with us. Those of you in the family room, we've got people watching all around the world. As they say, billion served watching online at the Movement Church. We got family that are watching from Clapham, London. There's a watch party there. We've got our family that's in Eswatini. By the way, Eswatini is the name of a nation. And Otandweni is the name of a village. That's what Pastor Joe was talking about. And all of that is kind of surrounded by South Africa. It's its own sovereign nation, and it's a monarchy. And it's pretty cool to see what God is doing there. So like Pastor Joe was sharing earlier, thank you for just being faithful with returning the tithe. We were able to write a check and immediately cover that. That it was almost a catastrophe. If that had sunk into the ground, it would have been a challenge. But thanks for doing that. And on that, we're kind of in this thing called I Heart Africa right now. At our church building, isn't it cool that we don't have a building here, we have a building in Africa? Isn't that pretty awesome? Also, by the way, we did not paint the floor this way. So I don't know if you know this, but a school meets here throughout the week. We give them permission to use our facility. And we never know what we're going to come into. But apparently it's a parquet wood floor, so congratulations. But we currently, at our facility in Africa, we also feed several hundred kids every day. And that is possible because people like you are actually sponsoring the Care Point. So as a church, we fund the financial needs of the church itself and the pastor and his salary and his wife. But you actually help become a friend at the Care Point. It's $40 a month. And what you do is actually make it possible where these kids get a warm meal every single day. And in an area that is 55% impacted with HIV or AIDS, the life expectancy of an adult male is somewhere around 45, and the life expectancy of an adult female is in the range about 50 to 55 years of life. It's extremely impoverished. Like the people who live here, most of them live in homes that they built with literally trees and mud and thatch. And when Pastor Joe was talking about people walking to church, he's not joking. The average individual walks 2 miles every day. So they have church for a long time because they didn't come to church to go home. So, and these kids walk to the Care Point after school and they get a meal. And when kids get a meal that we're providing for them, the nutrients of that increase their life expectancy by 25 years. Just think about that for a moment. But not only that, because we're friends of this Care Point, we do medical screening as well. And we're able to make sure that they're on top of things medically. We do screenings once a month. We have a whole team that comes in and makes sure they're taken care of. And if there's any complications, we can get them to hospitals. And we provide early education as a result. So we're changing the statistics one person's life at a time. And I'm telling you all this because we've got about 28 kids who need to be taken care of right now at the Care Point. It's about maybe 4 or 5 lattes a month for you. So get an espresso machine and make it at home. Can I get an amen? So no guilt to you. Just want you to think about it. And on your way out, beautiful Pastor Joe will be standing behind the table. You'll see the signs and the balloons and pick up some information. And just pray about sponsoring a kid. Being a friend of our Care Point there, $40 a month. And you'll set it up with them. And the cool thing is they've got a dashboard portal where you can write letters to the community and they'll write you back. In fact, our Movement Kids was writing letters to them and they're writing back and you can communicate and interact. It's really pretty cool. And then we go to Africa about every 16 months to 2 years. You can come with us and you can meet the kids that are there. It's not a scam. We're not gonna play some Sarah McLachlan music and try to make you feel bad about life. In the arms of an angel. That's animals, sorry, you get the idea. Every time we do this, Children's Cup, who we work with, we partner there, they're always like, there's no way you're gonna reach all the sponsorships we have available. I'm like, well, you don't know the Movement Church. So 28 still? 28 kids, we could do that today. Maybe some of you already are a friend at the Care Point. Maybe you can take another one. And if not, don't worry about it. And maybe you're a teenager and you need to partner with another teenager and y'all can split it halvesies, $20 a month. I'm just saying, like, let's do it, right? Let's make a difference with maybe some kids that you'll never even meet, but God takes that and does something beautiful with it. Amen? Can I preach today? Is that cool? Even if you don't want me to, it's awesome. We're in this series called Under Pressure. Everyone say Under Pressure. Thank you, Joe. And how do we deal with the pressure that life throws at us? Goodness, life gets crazy, doesn't it? You know, I realized that when I would wake up and after an hour of being awake, the bags in my eyes didn't go away. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, and pressure just kind of is crazy. But pressure has this ability to make some things that are pretty beautiful as well. Like, no baby is born and delivered into this earth without the mom experiencing some pressure. Diamonds are formed through pressure. In fact, carbon atoms are subjected to 725,000 pounds of pressure per square inch. Temperatures exceeding 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit at a depth of more than 90 miles below the surface, and it's under this extreme pressure that carbon atoms bond and they form diamonds. Diamonds are an example now of devotion and love when a young man gets on one knee and says to the woman of his dreams, "Would you marry me?" And it's usually a diamond ring. When I did that, it was a very tiny little diamond. I don't even think you can see it here. Like, the guy was like, "Do you have a diamond?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Where is it?" I don't know, but it's there. And something happens when we begin to shift our perspective and we view the pressure not just as a pressure, but as a test that sets us up for further opportunities. And we're going through these different tests that we face in life, and we're pulling a page from an amazing book that Meg and I are reading and have read called Proving Grounds by one of our favorite leaders right now, Pastor Kevin Gerald. You can buy the book and follow along. And I'm just telling you, it has profound impact. And we've now in week three of this. In the beginning, we talked about the test of the small things. Last week, we talked about the test of credibility and the test of the wilderness. And today, I want to talk about a test that all of us face. You currently are facing this on a regular basis, and how you and I pass this test has a profound impact on our flourishing and our future. And that test is the authority test. Shake your neighbor and say, the authority test. The authority test. We never get to a place where we outgrow having authority in our life, and how we respond to it has an impact on our future. Can I pray and we'll dive in? Is that cool? God, we just thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're doing something profound. We thank you that, God, what a journey and what a privilege it is to be a part of a church like this who cares about people who are on the other side of the planet, who cares about people that we may never meet, but we're willing to be sacrificially living so that they can be impacted in a profound way. But God, right here in this room, we're all here today with different stories and challenges and scenarios that we've walked in with. But God, right now, we're leaning into you, expecting you to do something beyond what we could possibly imagine. So move in a profound way, move in a powerful way, and do what only you can do. That is to be God. We give you permission and we give you authority to do in our life today whatever it is that you want to do. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, I gotta go through a lot of content today. So I need you to listen fast and laugh hard. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Josh Newman. And I'm gonna try to get through this content, and instead of talking about two different tests that we'll face, I wanted to focus here because I feel like this is a problem that is really challenging in our current cultural moment. But before I dive into it, I just want to identify this, that there's two kinds of people in this room right now. There are those of you that are brilliantly talented middle children. How many of my middle children are fans? And then there's the rest of you nut jobs. How many of you are the oldest child? Raise your hand. Oh, we don't even like you. Get out of here. Right now, how many of you are the baby in the family who got away with everything? Yeah, we don't like you either. How many middle children are in the room? Can I get a what? Let's go. let's go. Man, we were the forgotten ones. You didn't get fed your whole life. You had to find food, right? Your parents would leave and you'd still be there. And everybody's gone getting a shower. And you're like, Mom, where are you? Or is that just me? But you remember when you were a kid, if you had siblings, or maybe you were the older sibling and you were instructed, or maybe you were watching some friend's kids or whatever it might have been, and you were watching maybe your little brother or your little sister, or you were the little brother or the little sister, and that sibling told you to do something and you whipped your head right at him and you looked at him in the eye and you said, you're not the... Awesome. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We've struggled with this authority test forever. It's challenging for us, but the problem is, and really the challenge is, the authority test, it literally proves your respect for the authority in your life. And in every arena of your life, it doesn't matter what arena you're in every arena of your life, authority is needed. We need authority. It's crucial to our life. It looks different in every arena. It could be a chain of command. It could be an org chart. It could be your parents. It could be a coach. For my young guys and gals that are in here and you're playing travel ball or club ball or school ball, whatever it is, you have a coach. And if your coach says to do something and you don't do it, what happens? You get in trouble, right? We need authority in our life. And healthy authority is designed by God as a safeguard for your flourishing. I want to pause here. Healthy authority is designed by God as a safeguard for your flourishing. And this is challenging in this current cultural moment, because society today believes and says that our society is formed by systems of power. And these systems of power put people into two categories. You're either the oppressed or you're the oppressor. Now, in the upcoming season, in the upcoming weeks, we're gonna talk about this in great depth. But in our current cultural moment, people believe you're either the oppressed or you're the oppressor. And if you're the oppressor, you were probably born into it. And everything that you do, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, is an attempt to maintain that power. And then there's those that are being oppressed. And they're victims of the system and cultures of power. And then the culture that we live in today says that the dominant group is responsible for every cultural woe. I don't agree with that. I do believe there are people who have been oppressed. I do believe there are people who are oppressors. But look at me in the eyes for a moment. If you're a child of God, you are victorious. You are not bound by the systems that we live in. We live beyond that. And all throughout Scripture, in fact, the entirety of Scripture was written to people who were under various types of authority, ranging from great and healthy to horrible and tyrannical. I know this is challenging. I can feel some fidgeting. Shake your neighbor and say, stop fidgeting. The culture that we live in is trying to say that anyone who is in authority is probably oppressive. And I want to remind you that healthy authority is designed by God as a safeguard for your flourishing. And every time we're faced with challenges in life, every time we're wrestling with uneasy topics, we always look to Jesus. And there was a time when Jesus was being confronted by the religious leaders of the day. They were constantly trying to trap him and get him to say something that would tick off everybody. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he was first appealing to a group of people who were Jews, who lived in a land overrun and under the authority of the Roman Empire. If you don't know the history, the Roman Empire was not kind to the Jews. They kicked them out of Rome multiple different times. They had a law called the 1 mile law, and if a Roman was to ask you as a Jew to carry my things, you were required by law to carry it for me for a mile. It was degrading and humiliating. They were considered less than human. In fact, that go the extra mile comes from when Jesus said, I would tell you if you're asked to carry someone's luggage that you should carry it an extra mile. That's where that phrase comes from. Are y'all with me? So the religious leaders of the day are trying to trick Jesus, and they come to him to talk to him about taxes. How many of you love paying taxes? Ain't nobody raised their hand on that one. They come to trick him about taxes. And they say, "Teacher, we know that you are a true and you teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances." This is manipulative, of course. "Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And the reason they were asking Jesus this was because if he said, "No, don't pay taxes," Jesus would be in trouble with Rome. And if he said, "Yes, pay your taxes," then Jesus would be in trouble with the Jews. So here he is faced with an authority test. And Jesus responds like this. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why do you put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is on this?" And they said, "Caesar's." And then he said to them, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus immediately knew exactly how to respond, but he had a healthy attitude towards authority, even when the authority was unhealthy. The reason I want to take some time and talk about this is because the word toxic is thrown around today to describe anything that we don't like. In-N-Out got my double-double wrong. Well, that's a toxic In-N-Out. I have an authority in my life telling me to do something. Well, you're just a toxic leader. And I want to just chill here for the next 25 minutes. It's not going to be that short. I'm going to promise you that right now. I want to chill here because I'm afraid if we don't get this, then we'll stay stuck in a season and God's going, "Man, I've got so much more, but you got to pass this authority test." Let me tell you why. Because how we interact with the authority in our life right here on this planet has a direct correlation to how we respond and react to God's authority in our life. Jesus knew what the issue was. He's like, "Look, this is render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render to God that which is God's." And this test always reveals your attitude towards your authority figures. So if you struggle following, this test will reveal it. If you struggle with resentment towards your authority, this test will reveal it. If you despise the authority that are in your life, this test will reveal it. And here's the challenge about the authority test. Passing this test requires shifting the focus off the errors of my leaders and shifting it to the attitude of my heart. This is like the prime example of a Jesus juke. If you've ever heard someone Jesus juke you, well, Jesus was really good at it. Jesus is the one who said, "Hey, if your brother sins against you and they're the one who offended you," Jesus said, "Your responsibility is to go to the one who hurt you, not wait and cry and moan and complain about it until they come and talk to you." He said, "You take the initiative." So when we're facing the authority test, what Jesus is looking at is not the perfection or the failures of the authority in your life. He's looking at the attitude of your heart. And that sucks, because sometimes the authority in your life is unhealthy. Sometimes the authority in your life handles things wrong, and you are justified in your frustration. You are justified in your complaining. You are justified in all the thoughts you have in your imaginary conversation while you're driving to work today. Y'all don't do that? Maybe it's in the shower. Anybody else? Y'all are liars if you didn't raise your hand. If you don't have imaginary conversation, you're a psychopath. I'm gonna throw that out right now. That didn't work though, does it? Okay, moving back on. Passing the test requires shifting the focus off the errors of my leaders to the attitude of my heart. And the greatest test of authority comes when I disagree with authority. When the authority in your life loves everything that you're doing, is like, "Keep going, don't stop, you got this." We love authority. But when the authority is like, "Hey, nope, we're not gonna do that," inside something happens right there. And depending on how you're wired, if you're like me, you're like, mm-hmm. Anybody do that? Mm-hmm. And you're like, all of a sudden your ears perk up, you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, why can't we, what do you mean? It was my idea, and my ideas are obviously extremely amazing. Can I get an amen?" So our authority test always happens when we disagree with authority. And you might go, "Well, what about bad authority? What about real toxic authority? What about corrupt leadership?" Well, can I just tell you, that's always existed and it always will as long as humans are involved. So when Jesus was talking to the religious leaders, he was talking to them about a leadership that was toxic by the most extreme of definitions. So bad leadership, unhealthy leadership has always existed, but a disagreement is very different from being asked to do something that's immoral. A disagreement is vastly different from being treated in an abusive or demeaning way by somebody who's in authority of my life. And this is why I wanted to take time, because look at me in the eyes, especially if you're under the age 35, which last time I said this, all those that were like 33 are like, I don't like being in this category. Great. So you're under the age of 36. Look at me in the eyes for a minute. Having a disagreement with an authority in your life doesn't make them toxic. It doesn't make them wrong. And regardless of whether you agree with what I'm about to say, God put them in your life. We'll get there in scripture in a moment. Passing this test matters. And if you're over the age of 36, you are still under authority in some area of your life, and passing this test matters. Are you with me? So how do we develop a good attitude towards authority? I'm so glad that you asked. I want to hit on a couple things. And then when I conclude this, I'm going to talk about how to deal with unhealthy authority. So we'll get there. Because everybody's ready. Tell me how I'm supposed to handle that teacher that I can't stand, that coach that I want to punch, that boss that I literally want to fire. If I could fire him, I would, or her, or whatever. Are you with me? How do I handle them? Well, hold on. First, God's not looking at the failures or the faults or the imperfections of your leadership. God's looking at the attitude of your heart. So how do I develop a good attitude towards authority? Well, number one, I need to experience what it's like to be in and under authority. If you're here and you have kids, you're a parent, do you remember when you were a kid and there was something that your parents did and you were like, I will never do that to my kids. Never. And then you had a kid and you're like, oh, shoot. I'm going to do exactly what they did. This little punk kid, right? Y'all track it with me? Make these silent vows. I will never be that way. Then all of a sudden we go from being under authority to a position of being in authority, and it all of a sudden starts to make a little more sense. Or perhaps you've decided you corner the market on truth at your occupation, and you're going to tell your employer just where to get off and how he needs to get some things figured out. Are you with me? I always never forget the first time I had to fire someone. And I had a lot of people mad at me, except for the people who had been in a position where they had to fire someone. And they're like, man, I know that sucks. I know that's rough. I didn't realize the pressure of it until I went from a place of being under authority to a position of being in authority. So the moment you feel like you've got this thing figured out and you know why they're wrong and they've missed it, just take a deep breath, take a step back, and tell yourself, maybe I don't have the full perspective. Maybe I don't see the whole picture. Maybe I think I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't quite have this thing figured out. There's a story in the scripture where a Roman centurion has a servant who's dying, and he sends some religious leaders to ask Jesus to come and heal the centurion's servant. And they go and speak to Jesus, and the religious leaders are like, this is a good man. Please come and help him. And Jesus is on the way, but the Roman centurion sent yet another servant and told Jesus, hey, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy of you even coming into my home. But if you just say the words, I know there's authority in your words. And he said this. He said, I am a man in authority and I am a man under authority. I have men that if I say go here, they go here. If I say stop that, they stop that. But I too am a man under authority. And Jesus spoke the words, his servant was healed. And then Jesus followed that by saying, I have not seen faith like this anywhere in all of Israel. There was something about the centurion realizing that just because he had an idea didn't make his idea the most accurate one. And maybe there's authority that I don't fully understand. Are you with me? I want to not rush through this. I want to go through this slowly, specifically for my junior high, high school, college students, young adults. I want you to get this. Because if we don't pass the authority test, then we keep circling the mountain. You see, the children of Israel, when they were released from Egypt and they're wandering the desert, they just kept passing the authority test. They weren't trusting that God was in control and that he had a better idea, and they had to keep circling the mountain. So look at me. If every time you get to a place where you disagree with your authority in your life, whatever it is, whether it's a coach, a teacher, a professor, a boss, a board, a pastor, a leader, a police officers, whatever it might be, if every time you get to a disagreement, on the inside you have this disgusting attitude, you're going to circle that mountain again, and God's going to go, man, you haven't passed it yet. I need you to understand authority. I need you to get that God's given you authority, and I want you to grasp it in your heart, because there's going to come a day where God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. It's going to be a detriment to your life, and if you can't trust him, then you're going to circle the mountain again. Are you tracking with me this morning? So I've got to experience what it's like to be in and under authority, which means the moment I feel like I've cornered the market on truth, I may need to step back and go, I don't have the full perspective. But also it means I need to accept God's word concerning authority. You know, one of the essential beliefs that we have at the Movement Church is that the word of God, the Bible, is his word for us today. Look at me, and let me tell you what that means. That the word is authoritative in our life. The word determines what we believe, not culture. The scripture determines the values that we have, not the people in our culture. It is authoritative, which means that I follow what it says. Are you with me? Look at what this says in Romans 13. Says, let, and this would be really good for my friends in here over the age of 40 as we're facing an election year. Do y'all like me putting you in age groups? Some of y'all are like, I don't like this at all. I don't care. Get on. Here we go. Romans 13 says this: let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Let me read that again. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is, I'm not sure. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is, someone read that word. Now, I didn't look up the Greek word for the word no. I haven't read enough commentaries on this yet, but I feel like that's all inclusive. There is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. It doesn't say only those Republicans. It doesn't say only those Democrats. I'll never forget when Obama was first running for president. I lived in Arizona, and they're crazy in Arizona. Legitimately, it's terrifying sometimes. And I read the scripture and said, we're going to pray for our president who was just recently elected. And I had a guy come and sit me down and scold me. How dare you tell me to pray for that president? I said, I didn't tell you that. Paul did. So you're not arguing with me, you're arguing with the authority of the scripture. So if this isn't accurate, then how do you know that Jesus is who he says he is? You can't have one without the other. Either the scripture is an authority or it's not. How many of y'all feel really comfortable right now? All my older folks are, now you're mad at me. Earlier it was the millennial and Gen Z, but now my older folks, you've got the Trump flag on the back of your Tesla right now. I don't care who you vote for. I legitimately don't care who you vote for. We're going to talk about politics in this upcoming season. And actually, we're going to talk about social issues that are fueling politics, but we're going to talk about the authority of God's word on those issues, on all areas. But if I'm going to have a good attitude, I got to accept God's word. That doesn't mean I have to align with every authority. Look at me in the eyes. That doesn't mean I have to align with all authority. But I'm subject to them. Look at what Hebrews says, 13. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Do you know that when I stand before Jesus and all the things that I'm going to be held accountable for, one of the things would be how I lead this church? Do you know I'm going to be accountable for every word I preach from this pulpit? That sucks. I'm going to get in trouble for that word probably. It's so funny. We want to be an authority, but we rarely see the weight and the burden that it carries. And I think we rarely see it because we struggle to actually pass the authority test. This is going to be one of your favorites, ladies. Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, don't laugh. This is not the time. Do not. I noticed I waited till Megan was preaching at a church down the road to read this scripture. It's not true. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and himself its savior. Sorry, let me say that again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and his body and himself its savior. This is talking about order. There's a lot of discussion over the word head or headship. Does this mean mutual submission? Well, you can say there is a mutual submission, but this is talking about hierarchical authority. And this is hard in the 21st century. But there's order. And so if you're here and you're married and you're a female, your husband plays a role of leadership in your home. Now pause right here. Ladies, just chill. I'm going to get to the rest of the verse in a minute. There will be a day I will stand before Jesus, and he's going to take account of my life and how I've lived. Now, I'm going to find passage into heaven because I've surrendered my life to Jesus, but I'm going to be accountable for the things that I do and say after that moment of salvation. And there will be a moment where Jesus will hold me accountable for how I lead my family, and Megan will not be held accountable to the same standard. It does not give me permission to be a toxic butthead. It does not mean I become a dictator and boss my family around and they serve at the whims of Carrie, which would be amazing. I pray. That's on my believe card every year, just never. No, it means I carry the burden. He goes on and he gives instruction as to how I'm to lead. He says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to everything in everything to their husband. But look at this. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So I don't get a scepter and a crown in my home and walk in and everyone waves palm branches. No, it means I give my life for them. I protect them spiritually, physically, and emotionally. That's my job. It means I create a safe haven in my home where every individual who lives there can walk in their God-given purpose. That I live my life to champion them. So husbands, listen to me. This is your role. And wife, if you elbow your husband, I will literally, I'm just going to kick you out. I'm kidding. Don't elbow your husband. Chill out. Well, I would submit to him once he starts leading. Oh, we're not passing the authority test here. So dudes, if you need to up your game, look at me in the eyes. Today's a brand new day. We're not holding you to your past, and nor is your wife. And if she is, y'all come talk. We'll grab some coffee. Ladies, speak to him as if he is the freaking king. Not like you bowed to him, but like you are awesome, baby. I love it when you pray. Y'all with me today? Husbands, you give your life for your family. Listen, this is an authority. Are y'all with me? I see a lot of smiling faces and a lot of upset faces. Let's look at some biblical words that describe unhealthy attitude. I'm going to go 5 minutes late. We're going to get out of here at 11:20. You're going to be great. Biblical words that describe unhealthy attitudes towards authority. And here's what I want you to do. Do not think about anyone else. Think about yourself and just go, okay, God, what do you want to do in my life? A biblical word that describes, a healthy attitude towards authority. Number one is submission. That's surrendering. It's obedience. It's resignation. It means, okay, God, not my will, but your will. Obedience is another biblical word that describes a healthy attitude towards authority. Honor is another word. To respect greatly, to show high regard for. Let's talk about some biblical words that describe unhealthy attitude towards authority. Rebellion. This doesn't have to be like you lead an insurrection and you get guns and flags and charge the steps of the Capitol. Hey, we're not going to be a church that shies away from talking about stuff that you're already talking about at the water cooler of your work anyways, okay? Rebellion can be quiet. It's a defiance or opposition to authority. If God is not worried about, when it comes to you, God is not concerned about the failures, imperfections, or perfections of your leader. When it comes to you, he's concerned about the attitude of your heart. Now, that doesn't mean God's not taking care of the other people, but we're not talking about other people. We're talking about you. Not the person seated next to you, not the person who brought you, you. So if God's concerned with the attitude of your heart, then you can have rebellion that on the outside looks so submissive and happy and good with a smile. But on the inside, you'll be like, oh my God. Remember that when you were a kid? Your parents told you to do something and you knew if you had an attitude. If you're like me, I was raised by boomers. We got whooped and set with a paddle, settle down. So if you didn't have a smile, you're in trouble. And I'd go in my room and I'd scream in my pillow. I can't say hey, but I don't like Al. I love my mom, but not you, Dad. I've been to therapy. I'm good. Don't worry about it. So you can be rebellious on the inside, but not on the outside. Look at this word, sedition. That sounds so huge, heavy, and evil. But sedition is just stirring up of discontentment or resistance against the authority. So now it's not just something that is happening internally. Now you're actually, you're getting people on your side. Hey, look right here for a moment. This is the scary thing about the authority test. We like to be justified in our frustration, hurt, and pain. And the way that we feel justified is getting people to listen to us. It's a pansy, passive way of dealing with conflict. And we're really good at it. Not you, the person next to you. Another biblical word describing unhealthy attitudes towards authority is a reviler. One who speaks bitterly with complaint aimed at someone or something. Let's just talk about politics for a moment. Like, regardless of who you voted for, this upcoming election probably in our lifetime is going to be the most insane. No? Nobody else? Election? What's your current attitude towards your current elected officials? Look at me in the eyes. I'm not saying you have to be aligned with them. But what's your attitude like? If you strip away the titles, from who they are and what position they sit in, and you look at them as a human, as a son or daughter of the Most High God, what's your attitude towards them? What about your employer? your teachers, your coaches. Are y'all with me? So how do we pass the authority test? If you have a bad experience with a leader, it doesn't make all leaders bad. And when it comes to you, when authority fails, God is not watching on your behalf them. He is watching how you will respond. There's a great story in 1 Samuel 26 where David is being pursued by King Saul, and David did nothing wrong except for do his job very well. He was a commander of the army, and David, every battle he went into, he won. And people started praising David more than they praised King Saul. And Saul got jealous and tried to kill David over and over again. And what David didn't do is go around to everybody and complain about Saul and talk about how he's crazy and how he did everything wrong. David just quietly resigned himself. And there was a moment when Saul was in a cave looking for David, and David crept up behind him, and he could have killed him. In fact, he had an army, David had an army, and the army was waiting for him to kill Saul, but he cut off the corner of Saul's cape. And then Saul left the cave, and then automatically David felt remorse for the way that he had treated the authority that God had placed in his life. And he came out of the cave and he apologized to Saul, and he said, my father, I've offended you and I'm sorry. I just really am concerned that we're so convinced of our own ways that we're not gonna pass the authority test, and it's gonna inhibit us from flourishing the way God's designed us to flourish. Responding properly without rebellion is passing the authority test. And we've gotta remember that healthy authority is designed by God as a safeguard for your flourishing. There's a right and a wrong way to respond to wrong or unhealthy authority. Remember, a disagreement is not unhealthy authority. It's not even toxic. But if someone is demanding that you violate a biblical value, that's unhealthy authority. If someone is abusive towards you, that's unhealthy authority. If someone is mean and condescending and rebuking you, like making fun of you in front of other people, that's unhealthy authority. But if someone's getting on to you, that's not unhealthy authority. Are y'all with me? And how I respond matters. I'm gonna go through this real quick. Is that cool? So how do I deal with unhealthy authority? Number one, I check myself before I wreck myself. So check your motive. And just like David did, you just say, Holy Spirit, would you search my heart? God, I don't wanna miss this thing. I don't want to have the wrong attitude towards my authority. I might have a disagreement, or I may not align with them wholeheartedly, and I really feel we should do this, but God, you put authority in my life, and I want to make sure I'm in the right place. And the second step, we follow Matthew 18. We go to the person who's offended us or hurt us. So you set up a time, and you have a connection with somebody that's in authority, and if they don't respond to that, and it goes worse, and it just blows up or implodes, most authority is delegated authority in your life. In other words, they have authority on behalf of someone else. And if you've already confronted, then you go to someone who leads them, not to bash them or complain, but to say, man, I gotta figure some things out because something is not right. Are you with me? What I don't do is rally the troops to my side and they hear my side of the story and I tell them the thing and I get all these people who are also ticked off and complaining and now I feel justified in this thing. No, that's not the way that God wants us to do it. That's hard, takes more time, it's frustrating, but that's God's plan for us. And if we pass this test, it leads to our flourishing. If we don't pass this test, we circle the mountain again. And here's the bigger, scarier part about this. The Bible says, listen, you cannot ever dismiss biblical kingdom principles. They work, whether you like them to or not, and they work in both directions. So the Bible says that you will reap what you sow. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It's like when you go get popcorn at the movies and they fill it up and it's too fluffy. You're like, no, shove that popcorn down, shake it a little bit, put more popcorn in it. Can I get an amen from some people? And they do that. You say, no, shove the popcorn back, shake it up, put some more. Now it's overflowing. That's what happens when we sow horrible attitudes. One day you'll be in authority and you will reap in your world how you treat your authority currently. But not just the same. No, no, kingdom principles always work. It's worse. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And so if you have a bad attitude and one day you find yourself in a place of authority, you're going to reap 10 times the bad attitude you currently have. Don't you love kingdom principles? But the same is true when we sow a great attitude. I say, man, I don't align. I really don't think this is the right direction, but you know what? I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. And not only that, when I show up to work tomorrow, I'm going to have the greatest attitude. No one will ever know I had a disagreement. I brought it to you, and I'm going to work for this thing like it's my own, and I'm going to serve you here because God placed me here. He put you in my life, and I'm going to be the best representative of who God is. And I'm telling you, you're passing an authority test, and it will accelerate your life. I've seen it at work in my own life. On both sides, I served a toxic leader in my life who was horrible to me. And I can't even go into the details of what was said and done to just tear apart me as a person. And in my heart, I had the worst attitude towards him. And I kept hitting resistance after resistance after resistance. And God was like, man, I'm trying to get you to understand something here. And I failed that test. And finally, God moved us from that place to Arizona. And I landed in Arizona, and we were hired as youth pastors. And I was like, God, I want to get this thing right for you. And our pastor pulled us in, and he was like, hey, what are the dreams in your heart? And I said, we are here to lift your arms. Whatever you want to do, we will do. We're going to serve you. We're youth pastors, fine. Kids pastors, fine. Janitors, fine. What doesn't matter? We'll give you everything we've got, attitude, heart, and soul. And we did. And there's a lot of things I didn't align with him on, but I didn't care. I wanted to pass this test. And almost 5 years passed, and God started stirring inside of us this desire to plant this church. But we didn't know where, we didn't know when. We were in Arizona, and I feel like God's speaking to us. God spoke clearly to my wife, when you're brave enough to say it's time to go, I'll show you when and where. And so, in fact, let me just talk about leadership for a moment. She pulled me outside of a conference that God spoke to me so clearly and said, when you're brave enough to say it's time to go, I'll show you when and where. And I'm having this wrestle with God. God, why aren't you speaking to me? I'm the head of the household. And God said, I am speaking to you through your wife. And I said, yes, sir. We went and sat down with our pastors, and we said, we love it here. We work here forever. You pay us well. We love doing whatever you give us. We love to run the play and build what you feel in your heart, the vision that you have. But we feel like God's saying it's time to go, and we don't know where or what to do. And he cried, and he said, you're right. It is time. And we wept over a Bloomin' Onion at Outback Steakhouse. And I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you need to drive to California and see where God's calling you to plant the church. And I was like, that sounds like a horrible idea. And he said, not only that, but Carrie, you did exactly what you guys said you were going to do. And you, whatever we brought to you, built it. So wherever you go plant your church, I'm going to give you your salary for a year and a half because I believe in you. That's one of the key reasons this church exists today. And if I hadn't passed that authority test, if I had complained and been frustrated about that, it would have thwarted what God wanted to do in that church. And then there's no way he's going to say, yeah, I would love to help fund your church. This sounds great. You've been a pain in the butt for 5 years. Yeah, let me give you lots of money. Just saying, kingdom principles work. They work. Are you passing the authority test? The authority that's in your life right now that's driving you crazy, how you're responding to that is a direct correlation to how you respond to the authority of Jesus in your life. And you want to be at a place where you're passing that test with a great attitude because it leads to your flourishing. Amen? That's my heart for you. I want it for you. That we step into the next season of our flourishing. I need to say one more thing before we shift gears and close the service. I know that politics really, it is a challenging topic. I mean, they tell you never talk about politics and religion with family holidays, and there's a reason, because families have been divided over them. We're going to talk about politics in this upcoming season, so just prepare your heart for it. And I really want you to know, I don't care who you voted for. Look at my eyes for a moment. I don't care. I don't care who you vote for in the future. I don't care what party you belong to. Libertarian. I'm kidding. Green Party, Independent Party, Democratic Party, Republican Party. Let me just tell you this right now. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And what God's going to do in your life far surpasses any person who holds an elective office for a few years. So let's win the battle right here first. Amen? Amen. That's enough. I'm done. There are some of you in this room who today is about beginning the journey with Jesus. It's about starting a relationship with him, not eradicating your past, not being a member of the movement church, but just saying, you know what, I'm going to start today and allow Jesus to be an authority in my life. The Bible says there's a separation between us and God, not between God's love for us, but between us and God, and it is sin. We're born with sin. We have sin in our life, and sin has the consequences, death and an eternity in hell, but Jesus paid the consequence, the payment, the ransom for that when he died on the cross willingly for me and for you. And all we have to do is simply believe. We don't have to work to earn the salvation. We don't have to be good enough, get rid of our past, become a member of a church. We just say yes to Jesus. And there are some of you in this room who have never begun that journey, and today's your day. And there are some of you in this room who began a journey like this, but it's been a long time and you've been running from God, and today's your day to come running back. So do me a favor one more time. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Nobody in the room looking around, nobody moving. If you're here and you've never begun this journey, today is your day. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer, and right where you're seated in the quietness of your own heart or a small whisper, why don't you make my prayer your own? Just say, dear God, I love you. Thank you for giving me purpose. I'm not perfect, God. Would you forgive me? And now just make this statement your own. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed, nobody moving, nobody looking around. I have one more request, and that is, if you're here and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time or the first time in a long time, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, would you just put your hand up and put it right back down? You're saying, Pastor Kerry, I'm beginning that journey. I prayed that prayer. I'm starting brand new today. If that's you, on the count of three, lift your hands. Ready? One, two, three. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? God, we just thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you that you've created us, God, to pass the tests that we face in life. God, sometimes the pressure is overwhelming, but when we shift our perspective and we see pressure as opportunities, tests that we can pass to step into our flourishing, God, we recognize that you are up to something bigger than we could ever imagine. So, God, we thank you for what you've started today, what you're doing in our life. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Come on, Movement Church, do me a favor. Let's give a hand clap for those that prayed that prayer.
What a message. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, connect with us by texting Jesus to 949-267-3242. And if you're local to Orange County, be sure to check us out on Sundays. You can get all the information at theocmovement.com.